You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July the 15th, 2020, another reason to make sure you're voting for Trump this time around. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is in the hospital again. She went in yesterday for treatment of a possible infection. She did have an endoscopic procedure, cleaning out a stent that had been placed in last August. They say she's resting comfortably, but will probably stay there for a few days and get IVs with antibiotics on it. She's 87. She's had several bouts with cancer, including colorectal, pancreatic, and lung cancers. President Trump was asked, what do you have to say about her being hospitalized? He said simply, I wish her the best. And so do I. I don't wish Ruth Bader Ginsburg to die or suffer. I would like to see her leave the Supreme Court to make her decision to do so, not through death, because when she leaves, the next president will be appointing another member to the Supreme Court. Do you want Joe Biden to do that? By the way, Biden is, here's another reason you want to keep in mind if you want to support him or not. He says, if I'm elected, I'm willing to spend upwards $2 trillion to remake America's energy infrastructure to deal with our environmental and climate justice. He wants to have 100% clean electricity standard by 2035. Joe Biden. New survey shows, according to the Rasmussen survey, only 54% of likely voters believe that Biden can handle debating President Donald Trump on the national stage. 54% don't think he can measure up. We had some elections yesterday across the nation, congressional and so forth, and they all look to be, in many cases, good signs for President Trump. One of them in particular I want to deal with, the former White House physician, Ronnie Jackson. He was in a race with another Republican who's retiring, in the primary, to replace a Republican who's retiring after 25 years. And Ronnie Jackson ended up winning because he had Trump support. That's good. I always want to put balance into some of these newscasts I present to you and generally within the program. And I often point out Democrats being caught in some fraud or something. Let me point this out to you. A freshman Kansas congressman had listed a UPS store as his residence on voter registration. He's charged with three felonies, including illegal voting. Republican Congressman Steve Watkins of Kansas. New York Police Department and a union representing its sergeants, offering up to $23,000 for information leading police to who shot that one-year-old boy in a Brooklyn park. Hopefully that'll bring someone forward. Iran says it's executed a former employee of its defense ministry. They'd convicted him of spying on behalf of the CIA. Of course, we don't know if that really happened or not, but I'm sure he didn't have much chance to defend himself regardless. General McKenzie, commander of CENTCOM, is telling Iran, if you decide to attack Israel, that'd be a great big mistake on behalf of Iran and Hezbollah. That Iranian-backed terrorist group, he said, it would not be good for you in the end. Oh, here's one candidate you don't have to worry about voting for this time around in the presidential election. He's dropping out. Well, you're thinking, oh, no, I thought we only had a Democrat left, Biden and Trump. Who? This is a 43-year-old who announced, I'm going to run for president on July 4th. He said, I'm going to run for president. Now he realizes he can't get enough support, so he's dropping out. Kanye West. Who knew? Did you get your protein today? What's for dinner? Well, coronavirus has a lot of folks trying to get cheap protein, and they're buying canned tuna. And apparently canned tuna is hard to find lately. Watch that price go up. And you know Death Valley, California is hot, hot, hot. It's in the northern Mojave Desert. They are saying it could today hit the highest temperature ever recorded. 130 degrees. 130. But it's a dry heat. Tell that to a turkey you put into a 130-degree oven. It's a dry heat. It'll cook you either way.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, again, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
What we went through and what we did was historic. Because we did tame the beast. We did turn the corner. We did plateau that mountain. And then we came down the other side. And they will be talking about what we did for decades to come.
Talking about what we did for decades to come. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, talking yesterday and showing his poster art. Now, we talked about this yesterday, but let me fill you in again. It's a piece of artwork that the governor decided to design. He's pretty proud of himself. I'm always an artist at heart anyway, and he drew this poster. It has a mountain, and you've got people climbing up one side and people with ropes pulling them up, and you got winds gushing down that side that suggest politics are trying to hold them back, getting treatment and being taken care of. And then they get to the top of the mountain, and then they go down the other side, and they're all well and healthy, and everything's looking good. There's Donald Trump sitting in a half moon, quarter moon, I should say, sitting there saying, you know, it's all politics. And you've got a plane, look like it's loaded with, has Japanese written on it, and other things of that nature. He's got all this stuff in it. He thinks it shows what New Yorkers did, New York State and New York City, what they did, and they have tamed the beast, as he said. And it followed just the statement the day before that for the first time in months, New York City had no COVID deaths reported during a 24-hour period. None. Now, I haven't seen if they reported any since, and that's assuming they're actually staying on top and reporting it, but he was so proud of himself. He's proud of his artwork, and he got a lot of flack. He got a lot of flack from folks saying, how narcissistic do you have to be? You had 33,000 die in New York State, and you're bragging about what you did? when you and one of your orders specifically told nursing homes in New York State in March an order to them that you have to take COVID patients into your nursing home, and even if they are sent to the hospital for a while, you've got to take them back when the hospital releases them. I mean, you talk about a petri dish. It was boiling and growing with COVID-19. A nursing home facility was perfect. Residents elderly, vulnerable in many ways, many of them often having heart problems, lung problems, or a combination thereof, or breathing problems of any type. Had 5,000 plus deaths just in nursing homes. And yet he was showing his artwork and saying, people will be talking about what we did for a long time, forever. Well, you know my attitude and opinion on what he had to say, but I want to share something with you that happened on CNN and NNN involving Jake Tapper and Dr. Sanjay Gupta. I'm going to let you hear an extended exchange between them, because I will tell you, I don't know what got into the two of them, other than the fact that, you know, this one we got to call correctly. We cannot just go along with the flow and the Democrat and liberal attitude that, oh, we're good, we did well. Or if he didn't say something what he should have said, or he got over carried away, that we shouldn't blast him and criticize him. We should just kind of keep quiet if that's what we think. No, what they did was basically take on what conservatives and a conservative approach would be as to what the governor was doing, showing his little poster, and it's not being sold by the state, but you can get it for $14.95 plus postage and handling. But Jake Tapper and Dr. Sanjay Gupta started talking about Governor Cuomo's attitude and his remarks. Just sit back and listen to this and enjoy.
A lot of the crowing and Governor Cuomo going on late night is offending a lot of New Yorkers, given the fact that this is the highest death toll of any state, more than 32,000 dead. The next closest is New Jersey with 17,000. Are people going to be talking about what Governor Cuomo did for decades to come in the way he hopes?
Unfortunately, I don't think so, Jake. I mean, I think we're very early days in this. You know, we're looking at the first few pages of the history books, and I think there's a lot more to be written. I'm a little surprised by that poster, I got to tell you, because, you know, I think if anything, that's what this virus has taught us, is that we need to have a significant amount of humility. This virus surprises us over and over again. There's no place in the country that's not vulnerable. And I think we should have learned, I think we have learned, that victory laps are not the thing to be doing, because we're not through this by a long shot, sad to say, even in New York. I got to tell you, Jake, we heard from a lot of people today, some of it solicited, some of it unsolicited. And most everyone had some tone of, look, let's slow this down, this victory lap. You know, we're very early days here.
Wow. I'm sure Cuomo sat there and watched that and his mouth dropped open. No, his brother, Chris Cuomo, who is on CNN, did not take up the same story. Did not deal with it, did not take Tapper and Gupta to task, did not stand in defense of his brother. I wonder now if Cuomo is saying, who are these guys? Who are these guys out there on my side? Look what they did to me. And Tapper, beginning with all the crowing he's doing, boasting, when he's had the highest death rate in the nation, and by far 33,000 deaths. Next closest, New Jersey, 17,000. And yet he wants to stand up there and preach and sell other cities, states, follow our lead. Look what we're doing. Oh, they're going to be talking about it for a long time to come. But as Gupta said, Dr. Gupta said, they're not going to be talking about it in the way he likes and wants. I don't give much credit to CNN, seldom, if ever. And the same about some of their personalities, their show hosts. But in this one, I'm going to praise them. I'm glad they called it the way it should be called. I wonder what kind of flack they got after that program went off the air from not only devoted CNN liberal supporters and Cuomo supporters, but the brass at CNN. There may be fallout yet to come. So yesterday we had some primaries that were very big. Alabama, Maine, and Texas. Doug Shawn, a contributor to Fox News, who has also in the past been a political advisor for Democrat candidates, political pollster and political consultant. He wrote a column for Fox I want to share with you. It's an opinion piece. It's headline, Trump is big winner, Sessions big loser in Tuesday primaries, while Dems remain divided. And he begins by saying there are two key takeaways from the outcome of the Tuesday primaries in Alabama, Maine, and Texas. First, the big winner of the night, President Trump. Several Trump-backed candidates defeated their opponents and unquestionably benefited significantly from the president's support. Most notable, former Auburn University football coach Tommy Tuberville, defeating former Senator and Attorney General Jeff Sessions for the GOP nomination for a U.S. Senate seat in Alabama. Tuberville is going to be facing Democrat Senator Doug Jones. And then Shawn adds, the second Democrat primary results show their party deeply divided, complicating the Democrats' path to winning a majority control of the Senate and defeating Trump in the November election. And he breaks it out and says, Alabama was the biggest race Tuesday and of special interest to Trump because he had forced Sessions as Attorney General out after Sessions recused himself from overseeing the Russian investigation. And then you also have in Texas, we mentioned in news and commentary, former White House physician Dr. Ronnie Jackson, also endorsed by Trump, won his primary for a U.S. House seat. They're to replace, he's looking to replace Republican Mac Thornberry after 25 years, who's not running again. And Doug Shawn adds that in many ways, the weight of Trump's endorsements in Alabama and Texas signal the president's current chances for re-election may be stronger than the national polls indicate. In other words, his coattails pulled these candidates through, and for those who thought Trump is on a losing side of everything, watch it come unraveled. And of course, you've had many say, you know, Texas might be in play this time. It may not be a red state. They've had said that before, of course, when Beto O'Rourke was facing Senator Ted Cruz. That didn't prove out, did it? Cruz ends up winning. And Doug Shawn points out, on the Democratic side, the primaries represented another test for that national party, struggling to mobilize its base while finding a way to unite progressives and moderates around a message that unites rather than further polarizes a divided country. And Shawn adding, in several U.S. House and Senate Democrat primaries in June, progressive challengers either defeated or came close to nearly defeating their well-funded establishment opponents, the old left, not the radical new left like AOC and the rest of them. And he points out again the division between progressive and moderate factions of the party also was showing in the Tuesday primaries. For one, he points out, the Texas Democrat primary runoff for the Senate, an Air Force veteran, establishment-backed candidate endorsed by a Democrat senatorial campaign committee, narrowly defeated Royce West, a progressive insurgent candidate that had no money. And that narrow win is going to make it harder for the Air Force veteran Hagar to unite the Democrat Party in a race against Republican Senator John Cornyn in November. And the same for the Kentucky Democrat primary. What does all this say? It says that Trump is not dead, as you would have many of the leftists tell you, that he has no value, no use. There will be other candidates looking for Trump to step up and endorse them. And you're going to have a few that think, oh, I can stand alone. I don't need and don't want Trump support. And they might end up winning, depending on the district and the area they're in. But the Democrats running in some of these elections, especially if Trump steps up and endorses them now, they have to know that all the polls that you keep hearing and seeing, how bad Trump is falling and never going to survive this one around, that the reality is they still don't have the final nail in the coffin. Oh, they keep looking for it. They keep looking for anything we can do. They're looking for him to implode, do something. They need another surprise. They don't just need a November surprise or an October surprise. They need a surprise every month going forward. The only surprise they're going to get is when they again fall in love with their polls and believe that Trump can win and suddenly realize deja vu all over again, like Hillary Clinton. Now, as I just finished praising Jake Tapper and Dr. Gupta for their take on Governor Cuomo, I'm also on the attack against Anderson Coppermouth Cooper for what he had to say about President Trump yesterday. That story will be coming up right after this message.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, 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 bass.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So yesterday in the Rose Garden, the president was holding a news conference in the Rose Garden to announce new legislation against China. And in the process, he decided to go after Joe Biden. He got off script from what everyone was expecting. He was talking about, of course, how Biden, and I mentioned it to you earlier, that Biden has a $2 trillion plan to boost investment in clean energy and stop all climate-changing and damaging emissions from U.S. power plants by 2035. So Trump decided, I'll take advantage of this to talk about that. He said, Biden has gone radical left. He said there's never been a time when two candidates were so different. Biden campaign later fired back, saying today's statement was supposed to be about China, but there's one topic President Trump can't seem to get off his mind, and Joe Biden. And, of course, they were trying to spin it and say, we've got him so concerned he's got to speak out. In fact, they added what we heard in the Rose Garden today wasn't a president at all. It was a politician who sees his re-election slipping away from him. I just told you how Doug Schoen, a former political consultant, says looking at the primaries we saw yesterday in Texas, Maine, and Alabama show that Trump is still running strong because he endorsed those candidates and they all won. But the fact that Trump would decide in the Rose Garden to discuss something other than what was announced, it just absolutely peeved Anderson Coppermouth Cooper, as if he's the one who should dictate as to what the president says or doesn't say. The president can say what he wants, Anderson, when he wants. So he decided, I don't want to talk just about this. I want to add this while I'm at it. So here's the response. Anderson Cooper, on his program last night, just absolutely went ballistic. I'm looking for something I want to share with you before you hear the soundbite. He started saying this wasn't some stadium packed full of supporters who come jeer and cheer and bask in the glow of this artificially tanned man. Boy, what a jab that is, right? He said Trump's meandering screed was not close to anything one would expect or accept of a president, but that shouldn't surprise us. And then listen to how Cooper Cottonmouth continued to mock President Trump.
He chose to do it in the Rose Garden, just steps away from the Oval Office. That, too, should not surprise us either. That's how numb we are. We listen to this man muse and meander, rant and regurgitate the same tired tropes and untruthful claims We watch him boast and brag and preen and do that odd thing with his nose when he sucks in air very loudly, and none of it surprises us. That is how far we have fallen.
That is how far Cottonmouth Cooper and CNN have fallen. Mocking Trump with his tan, mocking his breathing, and he dare say this is how far we have fallen. He's talking about how far we've been brought down as a nation by Trump. Even Jim Acosta earlier in the day had put out a tweet based on that statement, and then later showed up on CNN later in the evening saying, Trump soiled the White House Rose Garden. Presidents do not use a Rose Garden in that kind of naked political fashion. Are you kidding? Every time the president speaks, it's a political fashion, period. Regardless of what they're doing, regardless of who the president is. If they're there and they got cameras, it's a political event, believe me. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, the cancel culture has a new target. And you have to ask, why? Why would they suddenly go on the attack against Doctors Without Borders? What has this great humanitarian group done to upset the cancel culture group?
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Crazy for thinking that my love could hold you. I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Doctors Without Borders is an international humanitarian medical non-government organization. It was founded in 1971 by a small group of French doctors. In 2019, going from 1971 to 2019, the group was active in 70 countries with more than 35,000 personnel, mostly local doctors, nurses, other medical professionals, logistical experts, water, sanitation engineers, and administrators. Private donors provide about 90% of the funding, and the budget amounts to about $1.6 billion. When founded and still has the purpose to provide medical care across national boundaries, irrespective of race, religion, creed, or political affiliation. They explicitly preclude any political, economic, or religious factors in making a decision to send doctors into a region. Therefore, it also limits the amount of funding that it receives from governments or intergovernmental organizations. They want to be able to speak freely with respects to acts of war, corruption, and anything that hinders medical care or human well-being. Only once in its history, during the 1994 genocide in Rwanda, did Doctors Without Borders call for military intervention. That's a pretty impressive record. Those who give their time and volunteer to join the Doctors Without Borders are an amazing group of people on the front line in some of the most horrific situations you would encounter around the globe. Don't you think that's something that should be praised? Well, the cancel culture group has reared its ugly head because of something that was stated by the Italian branch of the Doctors Without Borders. The president in Italy made a statement suggesting members of this group should talk about how all lives matter. To say all lives matter. Keep in mind the majority of their patients that they deal with are black. Throughout Africa, the Middle East, and of course of ethnic descents that are not anywhere near Caucasians or European. But she dared say we need to be preaching to everyone that all lives matter. Well, here they came. Black Lives Matter activists and others coming forward saying, well, we don't like this at all. They are a colonialism and white supremacy is what they're trying to enforce. And 1,000 current and former employees signed off on a letter to the management of Doctors Without Borders. And spoke out about it. One of the letters denounced so-called white savior mentality among members of the organization because they dared say, let's talk about how all lives matter. Well, when pushed back like that, the Italian president of Doctors Without Borders did what she had to do. She had to apologize. She shouldn't have had to, but she did because this cancel culture issue and movement is so damning if you continue to stand in their face. And she said, no, I apologize. We fully support and stand with the Black Lives Matter movement. And all of us condemn racism and discrimination. You see how they got pushed to the ground, trampled by the activists who claim you cannot say all lives matter. You either say Black Lives Matter or we'll come and get you. Doctors Without Borders, my God, look at the work they're doing and the countries they're in. Yes to them, Black Lives Matter, and so do other lives, but you cannot say that. They were there after the Nigerian Civil War and during it, taking care of those trapped in the midst of the Nigerian Civil War. They were Nicaragua. They've been involved in the Sudan. Various parts of Congo. And as I mentioned, Rwanda. No one else was there offering medical help. But now they are being called advocates of white supremacy. You know, of course, with the beginning of the NBA season, when they get around to it, the word has come from the league because they want to be woke too that, yes, we're going to allow the players on the back of their jerseys to wear social justice messages. They came up with about 25 different ones. Now, I'm surprised they even limited it and said it has to be one of these 25 because that in itself sounds like, oh, you may be keeping out somebody that wants their view expressed. There have been a number of players quickly deciding what they're going to wear for their social justice message when the league restarts later this month in Orlando, Florida. And in fact, according to ESPN, 285 of the 350 players have decided they're going to wear a message. 285. Including different players from Utah, Boston, Portland, Milwaukee Bucks guard Culver said he's going to wear a, quote, Black Lives Matter on the back of his uniform. But you know someone who is not doing that? Los Angeles Lakers superstars LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They decide not to put Black Lives Matter or freedom or equality on the back of their jerseys. LeBron James said, I didn't go with the name on the back of my jersey. It was no disrespect to the list handed down to the players. I commend anyone that decides something on the back of the jerseys, just something that did not seriously resonate with my mission, my goal. Anthony Davis said, the name Davis is something I try to represent every time I step on the floor. I was kind of torn between the two. I didn't know what to decide. Should I have a social justice message or should I just have my last name? And then he added, I just think my last name is something that's very important to me. Social justice is as well. But upholding my family name, representing the name on the back to go through the process, there's people who have been with me through my entire career to help me get to this point. I'm wondering now about some of those players that quickly rushed in. Did they ask LeBron James what he was going to do before they jumped in and signed on? And now do they think, oh, you know, LeBron's not doing it. Maybe I shouldn't, but I've already made my decision. Or will they change their mind? LeBron James says, no, not going to do it. See, I'm not trying to put down anyone, but not going to do that. There's an op-ed in the LA Times that's raising eyebrows because the contributing writer wants to remove the Star Spangled Banner as a national anthem. Not the first time we've heard this. And, of course, he's building it upon the criticism of Francis Scott Key, who wrote it. Francis Scott Key, of course, his statue in San Francisco taken down by rioters. Because he was, after all, a slave owner. So wipe him out and wipe out his racist song. According to the LA Times op-ed. And the writer says, at a moment when the U.S. is in the grip of a multiple crises, convulsed by debates over racism and injustice, ravaged by a pandemic, crumbling economy, faltering democracy, the very idea of a national anthem, a hymn to the glory of our country, feels like a crude relic, another monument that may warrant tearing down. But he says, if we have to have one, I have an alternative. He said, my song proposal puts on no airs. It comes in plain musical language without a trace of any bombast. It doesn't fit a martial beat march. Doesn't rise to grand crescendos, has no pastoral images of fruited plains or oceans white with foam. All of that he's knocking, saying that's wrong. So he says, I have a deeply American song. And it's not, he says, explicitly at least a song about America. Yet it's kind of become a national anthem. And he based it in part because of some of the soccer players the other day that took a knee during the national anthem, and one of them didn't want to take a knee, held her hand over her heart, but did kind of lean forward and touch one of the playmates who was kneeling, showing some understanding and support. So this guy is suggesting get rid of the Star-Spangled Banner and replace it with a Bill Withers song. It's a song I like. I like a lot. But I don't want to replace the Star-Spangled Banner with it. You know the song, Bill Withers, Lean on Me? I like that song. But not in place of the Star-Spangled Banner. Oh, and there's another song that's under attack. And this one, this next song also ticks me off because it's very close to my heart. Stand by, please.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Jolene, I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, please don't take him just because you can.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, of course, wherever the cancel culture group can find a target, they want to do so. At the University of Texas, which has become a little bit more liberal than it should be, in my opinion, and of course now in Austin, Texas, which is a blue city in the midst of a red state. Here come the cancel culture group, and now they want to change something else. The University of Texas was looking at some complaints from some folks, students, and said, well, we need to make ourselves more welcoming to black students. So they're going to look at doing that. And in the midst of that, you've got some of the students saying, well, one thing you need to do is get rid of that song. Get rid of that song. So that song is not helping you recruit. It's not any good for the Texas University. And you're going to turn people away. So they insisted you get rid of that song and you play another song. Maybe something titled We Are One or something like that. With football coach Herman said, I'm proud of our players, all Texas student athletes, our population, leadership. And what we're doing here today is a great first step. But what they're doing for a great first step is basically coming up with some ideas that they think would do more to address concerns of black athletes and student members. But there's one proposal. In addition to renaming Joe Jamel Field for black Heisman Trophy winners Earl Campbell and Ricky Williams, and erecting a statue for Julius Whittier, the Longhorns' first black football letterman at Memorial Stadium, all of those are good. But of course, I'm telling you, it's being done now because it's basic extortion. And got to do what you got to do to stay safe. But one thing the university has said it is not going to do at this time, they're not going to stop singing The Eyes of Texas. See, The Eyes of Texas long criticized because it's been connected to minstrel shows with characters in blackface in the early 1900s. It's sung at most organized campus events. Players in all sports gather as a team to sing it after every game. The Eyes of Texas are upon you. That's a native Texan, yeah, that's, I'm for that song. It's not meant to be racist in any way. But again, it's something they could say, well, let's attack it because at one time it was used as songs in a minstrel show. And the University of Texas says we're not changing the song. So far. I'm adding the so far. Joe Biden, of course, has already said, if I'm elected, I'm going to go way, way, way left. I mean, he's going to do everything, and he'll be in step with the cancel culture every step of the way. And one of the things he's going to do is focus on environmental and climate justice. So he's saying, I'm going to spend $2 trillion to remake our energy infrastructure. And I want a 100% clean electricity standard by 2035. I mean, he is so far left, you will never see him back to the middle if he gets elected. Of course, it won't be him ending up serving. It will be his VP, probably. But he's woke, and he knows that's something else the Green New Deal people and the rest of them want. You got to do what you can to make the environment better. Which brings us to cows. You know, I assume you remember in school how many stomachs a cow has? Four. When the cow first eats, it chews the food just enough to swallow it, and then that unchewed food travels to the first of two stomachs, and then two more, and then is released. And when it's released, and also without the food being released, the cow does something else. You ever been around a cow and it farts? Oh, you got it. Yeah, it's pretty strong. Burger King says we're going to step forward and reduce this. See, according to the U.S. greenhouse gas emissions of 2018, methane gas primarily a byproduct of a cow's digestion, was making up almost 10% of the total U.S. greenhouse gas emissions. 10%. And, of course, we were told earlier, once that number became public, hey, stop eating so much beef. Don't eat beef. Go to Chick-fil-A and get chicken. But now Burger King says, and McDonald's tried to do something like this a couple of years ago, saying it tweaked the beef in its Big Macs and Quarter Pounders, not needing as much, so not as many cows were needed. Burger King now says it's come up with something. We're going to give these cows lemongrass leaves as part of their daily diet, and that will reduce farts. They've already got this Burger King reduced methane emissions beef whopper in select restaurants, Miami, New York, Austin, Portland, L.A., while supplies last. Who knew lemongrass leaves would help stop that farting? I know some folks that I need to send some lemongrass leaves to. We'll be back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.